But everything that has happened so far has been right in line with what the Lord has put on my heart to share for tonight. And so go with me to Matthew chapter 10, if you would. See, that's what you call unity in the Spirit. See, you'll never be able to unify everybody's flesh, because your flesh is crazy as my flesh. Amen? But in the Spirit, there's unity, and that's what's important. Matthew 10, glory to God. Now, I just want you to know, I only share this message when the Lord leads me to. The Lord dropped this in my heart a couple years ago. And so I have seen, I probably won't get into all the testimonies of what's happened as a result of these scriptures that we're about to look at. They speak for themselves. But I have seen some of the most tremendous financial miracles take place as a result of some of the truths that we're going to look at here tonight. Amen? And it's not because of me. For sure not. It's the Word of God. It's there all the time. Amen? But sometimes when we put certain things together, we have a combustion result. And that's what happens with the Word of God. So Matthew chapter 10, and I want to draw your attention to verse 40. Now, I didn't even tell Karen what I was going to preach about tonight. And she nailed this verse right at the introduction. He that receiveth you, verse 40, Matthew 10, 40, he that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's, what's that word? Reward. Everybody say reward.
Reward.
Say reward three times.
Reward.
What's the reward? It's a reward for something that you have done. Now, I want to share my opinion, which I don't really do very often, but I think I'm on safe ground tonight. Is that there is a reward associated with the prophet's ministry. We know that. The scripture says you receive a prophet's word. But I believe that there's a reward associated with all the fivefold ministry. I believe there's a reward associated with the office of a pastor. Amen? Now, how do we know that? The Bible says that when Jesus ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men. And he named them apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Did you know that if you go to Solid Rock Church, that this man right here is a gift wrapped present for you? Now, he didn't pay me to share this. I'm teaching the Bible. I'm sharing the Bible with you. All right? The apostle is a gift to you. The prophet is a gift to you. The evangelist is a gift to you. The pastor is a very special gift to you, because he's with you all the time. Now see, now I'm a gift to you tonight because I've been invited. I'm a guest, and I thank the pastors for allowing me the privilege of sharing with you. But he's married to you. He's there with you when your hair's crazy. Now, I didn't intend to share this, but the fivefold ministry is like the fingers on your hand. Okay? The apostle is the thumb. He might be short, but he's stout, and without him, you can't hardly grip anything. The prophet is the index finger. He will point things out to you. Now, the evangelist is the middle finger. We'll be careful how we demonstrate him, but he sticks out a little above the rest. All right? The pastor is the ring finger because he's married to the church. He's there when your hair is crazy. He's there when your kids are going nuts. He's there when everything's falling apart. He's there when you're excited. He's married to the church. Now, the teacher, he's the little pinky finger, the only one that can get in your ear. All right? Now, I was sitting in the Chicago O'Hare International Airport, and I get an international call on my cell phone, and a pastor from another country phones me up and says, "What's the thumb again?" I mean, that just stuck with him. But see, these fivefold ministries are a gift to you. You will benefit from the giftings that are there. Now see, when a man stands in an office, all right, it doesn't mean the office down at the church. The office that the man stands in, whether he's an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or a teacher, is a functioning. It's a functioning, and that functioning is going to benefit you. There are certain gifts and abilities that God has placed within the office of a pastor that will benefit you. There is no way on this earth that I could even begin to fill his shoes. You understand that? Because there are things inside of him that are void inside of me, because I don't have them. But he does as a pastor. But then there's things inside of me that he couldn't have. Because see, no one person can do it all, right? And so there is reward associated with the office that he stands in. And if you will take advantage of the office that he stands in, now I'm not talking about taking advantage of the person in his humanity and in his flesh, but if you'll take advantage of the anointing that's on him and of the gifts that, and abilities that God's placed within him, then that will benefit you. There are things that if you'll tug and pull on that gift, it'll flow out of him that he's not even aware of, and it'll just begin to blanket the entire church and be a blessing to everybody. Amen? Amen. But the same is true with all the other gifts as well. See, I can't get up here and try to mimic Pastor Cam or Brother Ray here. I couldn't compare to them. But all I can do is function in the abilities and in the gifts that God has placed inside of me. And if you'll tug on those gifts in a special sense, well, then it'll flow out and it'll be a blessing to all of you. Amen? Now notice it says here, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And it goes on to say here, he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give a cup of cold water or a drink to one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple shall receive that reward. So whatever you do, there's going to be reward associated with it. But I like the fact that he specifies there, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get his reward. Amen? And so, how then do you receive a prophet? How then do you receive your pastor? How do you receive the gifts that God has placed in your midst? That's a good question, isn't it? Amen? Now, one of the best ways to find out how to do that is to see others that have done that. So let's go back to the Old Testament for just a minute. And come with me. Let's look, first of all, at 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. You know what? Hold your place there in 1 Kings. And we're going to look at somebody else here real quick first. Go with me to 2 Kings 4. We'll go back to 1 Kings in just a minute. We'll look at that last. But notice here, 2 Kings 4 and verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets to Elisha. The sons of the prophets, they were just basically Bible school students. They were there for training, for ministry, and so on. And it says here, they cried unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now see, according to the law, if as he died, if he was owing debt to somebody, then the creditor had a legal right to take into servanthood the sons and the children to pay off that debt. That was a legal right. But of course, that put her in a very terrible situation. this was life-changing for her. It was altering of her family. Who knows what could happen? This was a very dire situation for this widow woman. Amen? And so she comes running to the man of God. Now, I want to tell you something very important here. When you're in trouble, it is very important who you run to. If you're in trouble and you run to Facebook, you're going to probably get in more trouble. It is mind-boggling to me how people air all their dirty laundry and their problems and their moans and groans and their aches and pains all out there on Facebook for everybody to just, you know, Google that. Amen. If you're in trouble, you need to know where to go. If you're in trouble, you need to know the man of God. Amen. But if you're moaning and groaning about the man of God, you're in trouble. Because he's the one that you need to go to when you're in trouble. Amen. Here's a man came to me. This is years ago. Nobody here would be this, well, I was going to say stupid, but I won't say that. I'll be nice and kind. See, when I get really under the anointing, sometimes I get ornery. There was a lady come up to me and said, "Oh, Brother Greg, man, you were sure ornery tonight." Well, I didn't try to be. You know, I try to be nice and gentle and kind and smooth everybody, you know. But sometimes when the anointing gets on you, you can just be real bold. Jesus, he got that way too. Amen. I mean, when he got around those, Pharisees and Sadducees and some of those religious people, he called them whitewashed sepulchres, snakes, and full of dead men's bones. And that was scathing language at the time. Amen. But I'm not going to, I'll be nice tonight. But but anyhow, now where was I? Does anybody remember where I was? Now see, there's been so many of them over the years, I can't remember which one. Who you run to when you're in trouble. So, you know, if you've been moaning and groaning and complaining about the man of God and you're in trouble and you've been saying all manner of evil and stuff against your pastor and stuff against leadership, you're in a pickle. You're on thin ice. Amen? And so this woman here that we're looking at, when she got in trouble, she knew where to go. She went to the man of God because the man of God has answers. There is reward, there's blessing associated with the men and women of God that he has placed in your life. Amen? So notice here, it says here in verse 2, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Now, let me just point something out here. Now, this is a truth. This is a golden nugget that I'm about to place within the palm of your hand. Don't forget this. Whatever little that you have, if you place it into the hand of God, it will become much. Now, we're jumping a little bit ahead of ourselves here, but when this widow woman said, "All I've got is a little bit of oil," that means it was insignificant. She didn't think that it would amount to much. But whatever little that you have, if you can get it somehow into the hands of God, it always becomes much. Amen. We're talking about how to receive a prophet, how to receive the man of God. So he asked her, what does she have? She said, a pot of oil. Verse 3, "Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." In other words, get as many pots, jars, buckets, bins, barrels, whatever you can get, as much as you can get. Now that seems kind of strange. Going and getting empty buckets. You know, here somebody's got stacked 5 gallon pails behind the garage, or she goes to the neighbor and they just had a big Tupperware party, and so she borrows all the Tupperware bowls, and so she's getting all this stuff until finally her house is full of empty pots, jars, mason jars, milk jugs, whatever she can find. All right? And so it says here, verse 4, "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. So as her sons are bringing her these barrels and vats and buckets, she's got this little tiny jar, and she's pouring out and 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 pouring out. Now, you can only do that by miraculous power. And pouring out until she filled the entire house. Every vessel was full to the brim. And when they brought the last vessel to her, the oil stopped. She went and sold all that oil and paid off her debt and lived on the rest. You talk about the Beverly Hillbillies and the bubbling crude coming up. I mean, she had olive oil and she lived on that. Amen. That paid off whatever amount. See, the amount was sufficient to take her children into slavery. Paid off that debt, and then she lived on the rest. So whatever little that you've got, if you can get it in the hands of God, it becomes much. Amen? Here's a lady that one time, she came to my office when I was pastoring. And she brought me cash. $600 cash. Now, that's not a huge amount, but it's not a small amount either. $600 cash. And she said to me, "Pastor Gray, this is seed. I am sowing seed." Because we're believing God, you know, with our farm and with cows and different. They had one of the few purebred cattle farms in this part of the country. And they were taking some steps and launching out in faith to do some things. And God blessed them and God prospered them. And they were able to artificially inseminate from a bull out there in Europe somewhere. It made the national news. And here's this little farm that suddenly now they have national acclaim and national recognition for stuff that they're doing. But what they didn't tell on the news was behind the scenes, it started with a seed.
Amen.
Amen. She took what little that they had, they sowed it into a man of God, and now all of a sudden God blew the top off that thing into their in national recognition. Something small in the hands of God becomes something huge. Amen. Now let's keep on reading here. Amen. In verse 8. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman." Great women are great. Amen. Now, this woman, I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to say anything controversial. But this woman, bless her heart, she was the kind of hands-on type of a woman. When Elisha was passing by, the scripture says she constrained him to come and eat food. All right? And so, in other words, here's the man of God, you know, just, you know, going by. He's on his way to preach. And you know, here's this woman, sees him, recognizes that he's a man of God. And I mean, just goes up and grabs him. And says, "You are coming into my house to eat with." I mean, she's grabbing the guy. Amen. Look what it says. Don't just take my word for it. "Where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread." Now, I don't want to exaggerate too much, but I don't know if she got him into a headlock. I don't know just exactly what she did, but she compelled him to cut. There was no way she was taking no for an answer. We need more great women like that. But I don't think that's just what made her great, but but that was part of it. Amen? That was part of it. And notice it says here, in verse 9, "And she said to her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually." So in other words, her house was on the highway. And so this was a major thoroughfare everywhere that, Elisha's got to travel. Now, as a traveling minister myself, there are some roads that I know so well. Like when I travel with my son, I was pointing out all the different places. Okay, I stopped there 3 times in a row and got gas. I stopped there and spent the night. I stopped there and they got really good hamburgers over there. Because I just know the roads so well. And so that when you're traveling, there's certain arteries that you're just on all the time. Okay? And so this woman lived on one of those arteries that this man of God's on all the time. And so she's, every time he's passing by, now she's looking for him too. She grabs him, pulls him in, feeds him, takes care of him, dusts him off, gives him a place to be comforted, and then he's on his way again. So she goes to the husband and says, "I perceive this a man of God. We need to do something for him." Like she wasn't already. She was doing a lot for him. So she tells her husband, "We need to make an addition to the house. He is coming here all the time. Let's add on to our house and make a prophet's chamber. So that every time he comes by, we don't just feed him. We don't just stick him full of ribs and Brussels sprouts and mashed potatoes and all this kind of stuff. We want to give him a really comfortable bed. We want to make a desk there for him. We want to give him a lamp. We want to make sure that he's comforted and comfortable and that he's rested and refreshed every time he comes by here." Now notice this. Verse 10, "Make us a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be that when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came in thither and turned into the chamber and lay there." So he's taking advantage of the room that was made for him, this prophet's chamber. "And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for her?" You know, the first thing that comes to my mind? Genie in a bottle. She has been so careful. Now see, why was she grabbing the man of God and doing all this stuff for him? Because she cared. Her motive was to care for a man that was anointed by God. Even to the point of putting an addition on the house. Amen. And now the man of God called her in front of him and said, "What's to be done for her?" And Gehazi said, "Well, she's always wanted a child, and her husband's really old." So in other words, that plans out. But when you have sown into the man of God, there comes a day when the question's asked, "What shall be done for you?" Amen. How do you receive a man of God? You're seeing little glimpses of it right there. Can I give you a little hint? You know who the most prosperous person should be in the entire church? The pastor. You know who the most well-dressed couple in the church ought to be? It ought to be the pastors. Amen. You know, when you butcher that cow, and I don't mean cleaning out the bottom of the freezer to get rid of the stuff that's no good, but what comes right off the top, if you're smart, ought to go to the pastor. Amen. Why? Because there will come a day when... Now, he didn't tell me to say this. I'm showing from the Word of God here. But he would have. I remember I gave some meat to a pastor friend of mine. And first thing he said, I'm not joking, not exaggerating, I'm just telling you the facts. I asked if he wanted a bunch of meat. He said, it ain't freezer burnt, is it? Well, see, somebody wanted to bless the pastor, and they emptied all their freezer-burnt old meat, gave to the pastor. It's fit to be thrown out. That is not the way to get blessed. Amen? That's not the way to get blessed. Amen? You ought to make sure to take very, very good care of the gift that Jesus, the head of the church, placed within your midst. Amen? Whether it's the pastor or whether it's the people that God has brought across your path. Amen? To be a blessing to you. And she got pregnant and had a child. See, God's a good God, isn't he? Go with me now to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't tell people generally very often what I like. Because, man, people just flood you with stuff that you like. I made the mistake one time of telling people that I like chicken wings. And, I mean, I had chicken wings coming out of my ears. I had so much chicken wings that were... So I don't... Now, when we went out to lunch, what did I get? Chicken wings. Because I love chicken wings. All right? Well, here's a lady and her husband. Now, I knew who they were, all right? I don't normally just go out all the time with people and different things because when you're ministering, you got to stay focused and so on. But I felt it was okay to go to this couple's house to eat with them. And when I walked in the door and I saw the fixtures and stuff that they had hanging on the wall, I said, this stuff that you've got on the wall, that belongs in a new house. I said, this belongs in a new house. I said, I believe God is going to give you a new house. All right? Walked into their home. I looked at what she had prepared on the table. She had every kind of chicken wing that you can imagine. She found out that I like chicken wings, and she went and bought and provided every kind of chicken wing that you can imagine. Until I was stuffed with chicken wings. And had so many chicken wings, you don't even know what to do with the chicken wings. Amen? So I go on ministering. We had a nice evening, and I go about my business ministering. I get an email message from her a few months later, and she sent pictures of their brand new home. And I said, what happened? How did this happen? She said, well, my husband graduated from a certain degree program at the university, and he doesn't even have his first paycheck yet. He had gotten a job with a certain company. They went to the bank, and now realized he's not even got his first paycheck yet. And the bank gave them a loan to buy a new home based on what he would be doing in the future. Which, does that make much sense? No. No. But when you have the favor of God, even the bank will get behind you. Amen? And so she explained to me that they were able to get into this home, buy the home, and not even have their first paycheck yet. Amen? And then God supernaturally provided the job for him. Okay? Now, even though he had a degree at this job, he didn't have the exact correct training for that particular position. And not only that, did they give him the position, they gave him the highest pay scale level that they could have in that company for that position. Favor of God. And you might ask, well, man, God just chose to make an example out of them. That's not what happened. It started with chicken wings. You might laugh at that, but that's exactly what happened. Chicken wings. Amen? Little cup of oil pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring until she became an oil baron. Amen? Here's a woman, great Shunammite woman. That I mean, she's grabbing the man of God and bringing him in and stuffing food in his face. And her heart's longing desire was for a child. And God enabled her to have a child. Amen? That's receiving a man of God. Amen? Now let's look here. Did you find chapter 17, 1 Kings? Are you getting anything at all tonight? And Elijah the Tishbite was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that's before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee where? Where? There. There was the place of appointed blessing. Not over yonder, not at some other brook. God said, you go there, and there was the place of appointed blessing. Now, I know that y'all are from a small community. I pastored for 14 years in a town of, 3,000. We had five reserves around us and very limited opportunities, small community. And as a pastor, continually, I heard people say, if I could only get to Edmonton, if I could only get to Vancouver, if I could only get to some other place, I'd have better opportunities, I'd have better chances, I'd have more success. And I never once saw it happen just that way. Never once. The grass is not always greener on the other side. They say, oh, Loch Lubis is God forsaken. Swan River is God forsaken. Amen? No, it is. No, it's not. It's not. Because God sent them there. God sent these people there. Amen? If it was God forsaken, man, you made a big mistake. Because Jesus, the head of the church, gives shepherds and pastors according to his own heart. He's the chief shepherd and great shepherd of all of God's sheep, and he put a tremendous gift right in your laps. Amen? There's no such place as God forsaken. Amen? But there was the place of appointed blessing. And notice here that God commanded the ravens to feed him there. So if he goes somewhere else, the ravens are going to be there where God appointed the blessing. See, here's Elijah, and he obeyed God. He went by the brook Cherith, and morning and night, he had his food flown in first class raven air every day. Morning and night, first class air delivered service for his food. Amen. Ravens can carry food. In Loch Lubis in the wintertime, we had two grocery stores across the street from each other. You would park on one side of the street and then walk across the other way back and forth to whoever's got the sales going on. And the big ravens would sit up there on the light post and they would just look for these poor saps that were about to go in to get their coupons filled. And then they would swoop down into the back of somebody's truck. And I've watched them do it countless times. And they would grab a loaf of bread with their foot and go up on top of that light post and start clucking and laughing at those poor, silly fools that went in there to the grocery store. And then the person comes out and they're looking around. Where'd my loaf of bread go? Where'd my loaf of bread go? And they're up there on the light post just laughing. And then they call all their buddies to come and have a snack. Amen? Well, this raven brought food, first-class style, to the man of God because he went to where God told him to go. Amen? But then eventually, the brook dried up. See, you must, listen carefully, you must be willing to continue on further with God. Just because God moved in a particular location on one occasion doesn't mean that it's going to be that way forever. You have got to be able to move with the Spirit of God and go further on down the road. Amen. Well, I don't want to go further on down the road. The provision goes with God's direction. If you stay in the past, you will die. This is a thus saith the Lord. This is a word from heaven for you all. You must be willing to progress and to go forward. Amen. The brook dried up. And God told Elijah, now you need to go to Cherith, because I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Amen. So God's provision moved from the brook Cherith to Zarephath. Now the woman that God said he commanded to provide for him wasn't all on board to begin with. Now let's look at what the Bible says about her. Notice here, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. For behold, I've commanded a woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to the gate of the city. Behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, let me just point something out here. She's gathering of sticks to make a little cupcake for her and for her son, that they may eat it and die. We're going to read that in just a minute. So he comes into town, and I mean, he comes through the gate of the city, sees this widow woman. He perceives in his spirit that that's the one that's supposed to take care of him. And what's the first thing he does? Commands her, orders her to go get him a drink of water. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. That's good and cold too. Amen. Now, so he says, go get me a drink of water. And she does not even bat an eyelash. She goes to get a drink of water. Now, what does that represent? The most valuable commodity in the land at that time was water. People were dying. Livestock were dying because there was no rain. The drought was on because of judgment on the land. He went and asked her to provide for him the most valuable commodity that they had, and that was water. Now, let's keep on reading here. And as she was going, verse 11, to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Now, doesn't he know that people are dying? Doesn't he know that this little woman is suffering, is going to have her last little cupcake and die? Doesn't he know that? I submit to you that he does know that. Notice what goes on to say, verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. Now listen to Elijah. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake, what? First, and bring it to me. Of all the self-serving, pompous, and arrogant things that a man of God could say, this takes the cake. No pun intended. If this would happen in our day, Trump would cease to get negative publicity anymore. All the focus of the media would be on flashy international minister takes last cupcake from dying widow and her son to feed himself. I mean, all the news, every eye, every media outlet would be on that man. First, I mean, she's dying. She's gathering of a couple of sticks to eat her cupcake and die. And he says, put me first. You would lose. If I were to go and do that here tonight and say, put me before yourself, and you didn't know me real good, everybody would walk out that door. Or at least in a lot of places they would. Because it's so self-serving, selfish, mean, hard-hearted. Put me first. But I wonder if maybe he knew something she didn't. By the look on your face, I know that you know that he knows something different. Amen? Put me first. See, if you receive a prophet, what do you get? A prophet's reward. He's not trying to steal from her. He's trying to get something into her hands. Amen. Now, I want to point something else out here. If Elijah had been skin and bone and famished hungry, you might be able to let it slide a little bit. But he was not even hungry. He had his food flown in first class air every day. He was the fattest man in the entire land. I'm not kidding. He was not even hungry. And he said, put me first. Maybe, now I'm telling you, he knew something that she did not realize at the time. Amen. Sometimes you've got to give the man of God the benefit of the doubt. Because he might know something that you don't. Amen. Now, you know what? When I just said that, Pastor, there were some people that highly doubted that. Amen? But I tell you what, there are things inside of the pastor, there are things inside of the ministry gifts that you're not even aware of. Amen? How many of you realize that the pastor is the shepherd of the flock? Amen? How many of you realize that as a church member, you are called a sheep. Amen? You are sheep, right? Tell me what defense mechanism the sheep has. Zero. Thank you. Do sheep have big fangs? Zero. Do they have great eyesight? Zero. Do they have great exceptional hearing? Zero. Are they exceptionally fast? Zero. There is no natural defense mechanism for a sheep except the shepherd. How far do you think the sheep can get without the shepherd? Zero. Not very far. Amen? So, you got to realize that there's a reason why Jesus put these gifts within our midst, because we need them. There's anointings. There are things that we can benefit by because of that anointing. Now let's keep on going here. Verse 12. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go, do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it to me, and after for thee and for thy son, for thus saith the Lord. This now goes beyond Elijah. It goes beyond humanity. It goes beyond the fact that he was plump and juicy and full and lots to drink and lots to eat. It's now, thus saith the Lord. When you have in your life a thus saith the Lord, your life will never be the same again. Do you believe that? Do you see that? For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which is spake by Elijah. That's what Elijah knew all along. That's what he was prepared for. That's what he knew what would happen. If she would receive him, then she would get that reward. the Bible talked about later in the New Testament that there were many widows in Israel at that time, but only to one was Elijah sent. What if she would have rejected him? What if she would have said, no, I don't believe that mumbo-jumbo stuff, and we're going to eat our cupcake and die? We'd have never heard of her. Amen? But thank God she was obedient. Thank God that she was receptive to the Word of God. And when that happened, it opened up the treasures of heaven so that not only did she eat, her household, anybody that came into her house, there was plenty of food. Amen? Because the little that she had, she was willing to put it into the hands of God. It's not about man. It's about the office. It's about the anointing. Amen? There was a lady, let me just share this with you. The Lord led me to share this in another place. I don't share this very often. But when the Lord tells me to, then I'll do it. But there was a lady that heard this, and I had been there for a few days ministering at their church, and this couple came in to see the pastor to pray about their business. Now, the economy in their area just took a nosedive because it was primarily reliant on oil and gas and different things, and that just crashed a few years ago. I mean, just thousands and thousands of people suddenly lost their jobs. They're out of work in the oil patch industry. And their business was in gravel, and they primarily did site pads and different things, and that was their business. And, of course, they're losing their business. They came into the pastor to pray, and the pastor understood, that I stand in the office of a prophet, and if the Lord, were to show me something, he said, just jump right in and share it. But the Lord didn't say anything to me. I just sat there quiet and said amen when they prayed. So Sunday morning came along, and there she is on the back row. And it's at the end of the service. I said, stand up back there. And the Lord told me to tell her that no weapon formed against her shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17. And she sat down. No, she didn't sit down. She said, are you going to be here very long? And I said, well, because it's the end of the service. I said, I have to go with the pastor right away after the service, but yeah, we'll be here for just a little bit. She made a beeline out the door. Now, I don't know her from Adam or Eve. Well, she went out, and we found out later, she went to their office, grabbed a checkbook. Now, I'm not trying to brag. I'm just telling you facts of what happened. She wrote out a check to our ministry. Now, their business is going under. That's what they're consulting the pastor about. Their business is going under. And she sent her son in with an envelope and gave it to me. And so I'm standing there after the service with the pastor. The son takes off. He leaves. And I've just got to hold this envelope. I don't know anything about it. And the pastor looks at it and snatches it out of my hand. And I knew the pastor really well, all right? And he's just like that. Snatched it out of my hand. He rips the envelope open, pulls it out, and starts to shout and scream and jump up and down. I mean, just like it was the lottery. Have you ever seen the 649 dance? He's just going like this. And I'm just standing there. Myself. And I didn't even see what the check was for. And finally, he let me look at it. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm just telling you facts. Not bragging, not complaining. But it was for what I had made in the last 2 years put together. That was her cupcake. See, when something like that happens, it really shows, do you believe what you're saying or not? Because that lady and her family were being stared down by the economy that you're going to die. Your business is going to die. You're going to lose everything. That's how serious this was. That offering that she sowed was her cupcake. That's why I can share this word with strength, conviction, and confidence because I know what it'll do. I go on preaching. 2 weeks later, I phoned the pastor, and we're just visiting, talking. And he said, oh, did you hear what happened to that couple? I said, no, what happened? They just completed a contract for $1.2 million. They went from zero to $1.2 million in 2 weeks. Here's a woman and her husband. Chicken wings. New house. New job. Here's another family. Cupcake. $1.2 million. That was only the first one. I saw that woman just the other day. Amen. And for the last year, they have been steady, just going and going and going and hiring people and hiring stuff out, getting subcontractors. Their business is doing good. Amen. And they're blessed. In a small town. We're not talking big city. We're talking out there in the middle of nowhere. It does not matter where you are as long as you're where God wants you to be. If God wants you to be in Swan River, you won't succeed anywhere else. If God wants you to be in XYZ, that's the place of a point of blessing. Amen. So what I'm talking about is taking what you've got and getting it into the hands of God is the best thing you could ever do. Amen. And I'm not saying this for my benefit. I don't care whether you give to me or not. That is not what this is about. This is about you taking what you've got and getting it in the hands of God so that you can have the reward that's associated with the promises of God. Amen. I'd rather you do something for the pastor. Amen. That's what I'd rather you do. Amen. To honor the people and the gifts that God's placed within your midst. God will always take care of me. I know that. Amen. God's good. See, I practice what I preach. Amen. I practice it. I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to boast or anything like that. My wife is there as a witness. We just sold our boat. It was a Tracker Pro Guide V16 deep hull boat. Beautiful boat. And sowed it as seed. And just said, you know, here you go. It's yours. Now, why do I do that? Because I believe this word. You know, I love watches. And I took that, well, actually, I didn't do it. But my wife, she took it off my wrist and gave it to a pastor. Because we believe this. Amen. We are not just saying, oh, we want to be on the receiving end. No, we want to be on the giving end. Amen. We want to be on the giving end. Here's a pastor, actually, in Ontario. I get out there. And he's staring at these shoes here. He falls on his knees. And he's got his hands on my shoes. And saying, what a beautiful pair of shoes that they are. See, well, he was a size 12, and I'm only a size 9.5. So I can't give him my shoes or I would have. But they had that particular store in his town. And so between services, I didn't tell anybody, but jumped over there. I Googled it on my phone, and I found out that they had a store there. I went over there, and I bought them a pair of those shoes and surprised them with it. Amen? Because I want to be on the sowing end. But when you're on the sowing end, guess what? You're automatically on the reaping end. Amen? Glory to God. See, that is God's economy. Amen? And as Karen just said, it's the windows of heaven being opened up. It's not just hundredfold return. It's windows of heaven constantly pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. Now, let me just share this with you. When the windows of heaven are poured out, what do you get? It's not a trick question. When the windows of heaven are poured out, what do you get? Whatever's in heaven. If that pitcher over there in the dining hall is full of hot chocolate, which it was earlier, and you pour that pitcher out, what do you get? Lemonade? Oh, come on. Work with me, people. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. If you pour out the pitcher of hot chocolate, you're going to get hot chocolate. You're not going to get lemonade. You're not going to get orange juice. You're not going to get Kool-Aid or iced tea. You're going to get hot chocolate. And so when the windows of heaven are opened up over you, over your church, over your family, over what concerns you, you get what's in heaven. And what's in heaven? Everything that you need. Everything that you need. Amen. Man, I got to show you this. I would be cheating you. I'd be cheating if I... Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now see, the glory of God's in here tonight. The presence of God is in here tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, real quick. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. When you get there, say amen. And verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who someday, in the sweet by and by, when we get to heaven, has blessed us. No, it says hath blessed us. Let's read it again. That didn't sink in. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. You are blessed right now. Right now, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you've received it or not, you are blessed right now. That's the truth of God's word. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Why? Now, see, some people say, okay, that just means that when we get to heaven, that we're blessed up there in heaven. Doesn't promise anything on the earth here. But wait a minute. The Bible says also in Ephesians that you've been seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? That's your position right now, seated with Him. He put your blessing where you're seated. You are blessed right now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because that's your position. That's where you're seated. Amen? That is your place of authority. That is your place of privilege and dignity and respect in the kingdom of God. And you have the right to walk and live every day in the blessing of God because thieves can't break in up there and steal. Moth and rust doesn't corrupt. And it's not lost and stolen. It's not forgotten about up there. That's the source of your blessing. See, the source of blessing is spiritual, and then it manifests in the natural realm. See, we got to get out of this natural mentality of everything that we can see and hear and feel and taste and touch and begin to realize that we are more than that. We're a spiritual being and that there are things in heaven that God's provided that we're to live out on this earth and the blessing is part of that. Amen. Glory. The glory of God's in this place here. All you got to do is reach out and take it in the name of Jesus. Amen. These things are true. The greatest life that there is to live is a life in the Spirit. The greatest life that there is. Now you're not going to go out onto the street corner and say, I'm going to walk by faith and close your eyes and cross that street. You better look both ways or you might get smacked. Amen. But when what you see contradicts the Word of God, always stick with the Word. Amen. I'm already blessed. When I was a young pastor, started pastoring when I was 23 years old, my stomach would twist in knots when the phone would ring because here's some problem. Here's somebody mad at one another. Or, you know, what is it now? Or you go to the mailbox and there's maybe unexpected bills or something. And it was just the devil trying to put a spirit of fear on me. And I caught it early. I caught it young. And I refused and I resisted and I rejected that fear. And so whenever the phone would ring, I'd say, glory to God. It's an opportunity for the anointing of God to begin to work. Go to the mail expecting blessing, not just bills. Amen. It's all a matter of how you look at these things. Walking and living in the Spirit. When my flesh would contradict what the Word says, if my flesh was starting to tell me, no, you're not blessed, I'd rise up and say this. The Word says, I'm blessed. And I would say what the Word would say. And pretty soon those feelings of doubt and fear and inadequacy would flee away. Amen. Because you've got to. There's people here tonight. I sense in the Spirit that you've been challenged in that area of doubt and fear and inadequacy, like you're not going to make it. That is a lie from hell. Amen? That is not the truth. If you've been struggling, if you have been tempted to throw in the towel, to give up, to withdraw, I want you to be bold right now. I want you to come down here to the front. We're going to minister and break that chain. Amen. Pastor's going to come and